You know, somehow I just believe that God's not through working in this service just yet. Hallelujah. My father always used to say that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so he said that after the preaching is done, there ought to be more faith than there was before the preaching. So we ought to see God do bigger things and more things and greater things because our faith is higher. Hallelujah. How many still need God to do something in your life this morning? God's not done yet. You still need a touch of God today. Let's believe God. Let's believe him for anything and everything in this service today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to read from the Word of God and turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to pray and believe God that my tablet reboots in time. I've had this for many years, and this is the first time that I have ever had this thing die on me in the pulpit and restart on its own. It makes a man think, well, did I have the right message? Glory to God. Everybody lift your hands and pray for a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. I'm going to read a few extra verses in your hearing, but let's read these this morning for the sake of context. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. Everybody say perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. If I can direct your attention back to verse 41, it says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I want to preach today with the help of the Lord, going a little farther. Going a little farther. Can you lift your hands and give God thanks for his word today? Can you bless him? Can you love him? God, we're so thankful for your word. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you. You may be seated. Throughout Scripture, there is this constant call to go a little farther. It's many times it's more of an unspoken call, perhaps just an opportunity, that if one is looking for the opportunity, you can find it. We see where the Lord makes this open, overt call at times. He spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, and he told Ezekiel, said, hey, come with me. I want to show you some things. I want to show you some stuff. I want to reveal some things to you. And he didn't just show him these things where he was, but he said, come with me, walk with me, go with me. And in this case, he brings him to a place around the house and begins to show him water that was coming out from under the house. And he says, come, I want to show you this. And then they get to a place where the water is getting deeper, and the water is up to the ankles. And then the Lord leads him further. He brings him out farther than he was, and the water's to the knees. And then he brings him out on, and the water's to the loins. And finally, it's a great river that he can't pass. It is waters to swim in. And the Lord wants to show Ezekiel things. And there's a specific call. As much as the Lord speaks audibly or speaks to a man, God spoke to him and said, I want to show you. Will you come with me? Will you leave the place that you are, and will you follow me? However, it seems like that many times that this call of God is not quite so open, not quite so overt. And we see this throughout Scripture. But there is a principle in Scripture that we find in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Hallelujah. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let us go on to perfection. The writer is not saying here that we're going to forsake the principles of the doctrines of Christ. He is not saying here that we are going to forget about repentance and we're going to forget about faith, that it's unimportant. He is saying that you have come to this place, but you can't stay in this place. This is not your stopping point. This is your beginning point. I have more for you. I have a place I want to take you. I have things I want to show you. I have more that I want to do in your life. You can't stay right here. This is just the starting line. There is a race to run. There is a marathon to move forward into. And if you stay right here, you really haven't begun. You've already given up. We are to move on in Christ. Romans 1 and 17 says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There are some things that we perhaps do not understand in our initial portion of our walk with God. As we come to God, there are things that we don't grasp. There may be concepts of holiness, concepts of lifestyle that we don't quite have, but if we'll keep walking with him, he'll move us from faith to faith, and his righteousness will be revealed to us. His glory will be revealed to us if we will trust him and just keep moving forward and not be content with where we are at that moment in time. Can you say amen? This unspoken call, I feel, is shown numerous times throughout Scripture, where I really believe the Lord is saying, I'm going to himself perhaps, I'm going to see if this person is hungry for more. I'm going to see if this individual is willing to be content with where they are, or if they want to move closer, if they want something more from me. When we see Jesus enter the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, he says to his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And as Brother Philip was teaching this morning, I thought about how that our humor and our way of thinking kind of goes along the same lines with some of the little nuanced jokes that he made there. And I think right here, Brother Philip, that the Lord must be from the South, because he said, well, I'm going to pray yonder over there. So he was one of us, Pastor. But anyway, I digress. Forgive me. But sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And so he takes with him Philip and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he begins to be sorrowful and heavy. And then Jesus says to them, my soul is very sorrowful unto death. You stay here while I go and pray over there. And so you know the story that when Jesus has finished his praying, he comes back and he finds them asleep. He finds them just laid out, enjoying their rest in the Lord. And he says to Peter, he says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I just kind of feel like this is one of those moments where when Jesus is leaving the majority of the disciples and taking his inner circle, if you will, I wonder if he was waiting for these other guys to say, wait, Lord, can't we go with you? Can't we go pray with you? Can't we follow you? Nobody speaks up. Perhaps maybe they were content to stay where they were. But then you have Peter and James and John who go with him, and Jesus says to him, hey, you guys stay here. I'm going to go pray. And I wonder if Jesus was anticipating, if he was waiting for one of these men to speak up. Maybe he was waiting for that big mouth Peter to speak up and say, God, I'm going with you. If you're going to pray over there, I want to go pray over there. If that's where you're headed, I want to go where you're headed. But nobody speaks up. I wonder what he missed in that moment. I wonder what the disciples missed in that moment when they could have said, Lord, if that's where you're going, that's where I want to be. Lord, if that's your intention, I want to be involved in what you're doing. I want to be in the middle of what you're doing. I don't want to hang back. I don't want to miss something that you might do in this moment. You may remember the times in Scripture that Jesus would perform a miracle and he would say to the person, don't tell anybody about this. See that you tell no man. I just wonder if that was a test to see if that person was really excited about what God had done for them. If they would just go tell somebody anyway. I don't think it was disobedience. I think the Lord is wondering, can you go beyond the place that I have brought you to? Can you go beyond the thing that I have done for you? Can you go a little farther? And I believe this was a test for this reason, because when Jesus met those leprous men, those 10 lepers, and he healed them, he healed these 10 lepers. And they said, go show yourselves to the priest. And then they take off. But then one of them, something else all of a sudden occurs to him. He thought to himself, I did not thank this healer, this teacher, this prophet. I didn't thank him for healing my body. And so he goes back to Jesus and he begins to worship him and thank him. And here's the indication right here that I believe the Lord was looking for something a little more. He says, where are the other nine? Somehow he expected the other nine to come back, hallelujah, and to have a little something to say of gratitude, a little something to say of thanksgiving. And this man, he receives a complete miracle, because you see, the Lord Jesus had healed these guys of the leprosy, but I believe they're still missing body parts. They still have fingers missing. Perhaps their nose is gone. Perhaps their skin is ravaged by the leprosy. But when this man comes back, he is made whole. He is made complete. His skin is restored. His appendages are restored. He is made whole because he came back to give God thanks. He returned to fulfill what I believe was the desire on the heart of Jesus, for somebody to go the extra mile, for somebody to go a little bit farther. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We see these two men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has died, he's resurrected, and these men, they don't really know what's going on. They're brokenhearted over this, and Jesus joins their little caravan as they're heading back to town, and he talks with them and they talk to him, and he preaches one of the most amazing messages that's never recorded in Scripture. Jesus preaches Jesus to them, starting all the way back in the Old Testament. What a message. I wish I could hear that one. That would be awesome. But they get to the house, they get to town, and Jesus kind of makes as if he's going to go on. That's how the Bible says it. He made as if he would go a little further. And these two men said, stop. And they said, no, hang on. You come on with us. Come to the house. Let's go eat together. And he makes as if he's got someplace to be. And they said, no, you come with us. And they don't even know it's Jesus. But because they constrain him, and they say, come to the house, and they have Jesus in the house. Because they get Jesus into their place, Jesus begins to reveal himself to them. And finally, they know who it is in the house. He breaks the bread, and their eyes are opened. What if they had just let him just keep right on walking? There's something, my brother, my sister, about when you say, Jesus, I need you with me. I need you in my house. I need you in my place. I need you in my prayer meeting. I need you in my church. I need you in my workplace. I need you, God, in my life. I don't want you to go off to somebody else. I need you right here with me. Hey, if you could constrain Jesus to go home with you, there's going to be some understanding. There's going to be some miracles. There's going to be some revelation, but you've got to be willing to go a little farther. This seems to be Jesus's way of working. Seems to be his way of doing things. When you get content where you are, it's very dangerous because, well, science will tell you that muscles that aren't used, they atrophy. These things, living organisms, go to entropy. There's not a continued growth, but and in this I'm reminded of the other leprous men, the four in the Old Testament, who are starving to death, and Syria's got the city shut up, and there's a famine in the land, and they start talking about their options. They say, well, if we go into the city, we're going to die. And if we go to the Assyrians, we're going to die. And they discussed their options, and they said, but here's the thing. Why should we just sit here until we die? If you can not be content with where you are, but you can say, Jesus, I don't even know even which direction to go, but I'm not going to stay right here where I've always been. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue the things of God. I'm going to pursue a calling. I'm going to pursue a ministry. I'm going to pursue a life of evangelism. I'm going to pursue being a soul winner. I'm going to pursue being a prayer warrior. I don't know exactly where I'm going to wind up, but I'm not staying here. I'm going to take some steps. I'm going to begin to move forward. I'm going to see what you can do in my life. Glory to God. Listen to this. If Jesus is going farther than where I am, then that means that there's a place where I can go with him that I've never been. How many wants to have better church than you've ever had before? How many of you want to have real revival like you've never seen before? How many want to see more souls get the Holy Ghost in one service than you've ever seen before? How many want to see more people baptized at one time than you've ever seen before? How many want to see more miracles of healing and deliverance than you've ever seen before? I believe we can have it. I believe it's the will of God, but God's looking for somebody that'll go there with him. Somebody that will follow him to this place where we've never been before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is in a row of sorts with some Jews, and it's over his establishment of communion. And they're saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? And again, I think Jesus sometimes talked in riddles just to see if anybody was interested enough in what he actually had to say. All they heard was eat my flesh. And they just took and ran with that. Kind of like the news media today, huh? Hallelujah. But Jesus, he would talk in parables and just to see if someone was interested in knowing what he really was trying to say. And when the disciples, Jesus said, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, they have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." And many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear this?" Jesus knew in himself that his disciples were murmuring at it. And he just said, "Does this offend you?" He just called it like it was. He says, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and followed him, walked with him no more. There were those that stumbled at something and made a decision, I'm not going any farther with this man. And the Lord looked at the 12 and he said, "Are you going to go too?" There's something about standing in a firm place, Pastor, in a solid place biblically. When folks say that, you know, that's a hard saying, I can't hear that. And Jesus doesn't begin to backpedal and say, "Well, let me change my position or my stance." He'll look at the rest and say, "You want to go too? There's the door. You want to go?" Now, we try to be kind and polite and all that, but when it comes to the Word of God, there's just some things we don't bend on. There's just things we don't back up on. And thankfully, Simon Peter, for once, in his big mouth ways, for once he got it right. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There comes a moment when those around you are walking away, when those around you are going back, they're backsliding, when there are those who don't want to go forward, when you have to stand up for yourself and say, "As for me and my house, as for me, I'm sticking with you, Jesus. I'm following you wherever you lead me, wherever you take me. I'm going to go where you go because you have the words of eternal life. You have the words of salvation. You have what it's going to take to save my soul." I have to add to this in saying that there are people who are looking at us. Oh, help me, Jesus. I used to be a pastor. I'm not right now, but sometimes that pastor mode gets back on you. Hallelujah. Can I say something that may be a little uncomfortable, but parents can be so short-sighted sometimes with regard to living for God. They think, "Well, I can do this and get away with it, or do that and get away with it. I can, to use a biblical phrase, I can take a journey into Moab for a while, and I'll come back." Well, you might make it back, but most likely your family won't make it back with you. Parents, the short-sightedness really involves their spouse and their children, and things that you may, by the mercy of God, recover from, come back from. But the damage done to your children, oh my word, I've seen it. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. So this going farther is not just about you. It's about those who are walking with you. It's about those of your own household, those of your family, those that you've been leading for so long. It's more than just about you. We see this in Scripture as well. In the book of Genesis chapter 13, we have the parting of Abraham and Lot. And Lot goes eastward. And the Lord tells Abraham, he says, "Look, lift up your eyes, walk throughout the land, and I want you to walk north, south, westward, and eastward. The same area that was given to Lot. Abraham, I want you to walk through that as well. I'm going to give all this land to you. I'm going to take your seed. It's going to be numbering as the dust of the earth. If a person can even number the dust, that's how your seed's going to be numbered. Walk through the land. Go through the length of it and the breadth of it. I'm going to give it to you, Abraham. And I see that because of that blessing of Abraham, the blessing that's upon this man's life, when we look in the book of Genesis, chapter 26 and verse 24, the Lord is now talking to Isaac. He's talking to Abraham's son, and he says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply thy seed. Listen to this. Isaac, I'm going to bless you for my servant Abraham's sake. Isaac, I'm going to bless you because of your daddy. I'm going to bless you because of the man that your father was. Hey, brothers, hallelujah. We can leave a lasting legacy. We can leave an enormous impact on our children and our grandchildren. The blessings of God can be upon them because we went a little farther. The touch of God can be upon them because we went the extra mile. God will provide a multi-generational blessing, a multi-generational keeping. If we'll step out as the leader and say, God, I'm going to walk by faith. Just like you can doom your children by walking away, you can bless your children by going forward. You can bless your family by going forward. You can bless your grandchildren. You might... Pastor, I'm more concerned with what happens when I'm dead and gone as opposed to what happens while I'm still alive. Oh, God. Hallelujah. My vision, my desire, it's bigger than just my lifetime. We see it in the book of Hebrews. It says these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen it afar off. And they were persuaded of it, and they embraced it, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, and they were in a land that was not their own. They were passing through, but they were seeking a city whose building and maker, its foundations were of Almighty God. And they went to their graves, never seeing this. They went to their graves, not seeing the promise, but they were convinced of it. They believed it. How many of us today can go to our graves believing God? He's going to save our children. He's going to save our grandchildren. He's going to save backslidden family members. And if I never live to see it, I'm going to keep on praying. If I never live to see it, I'm going to keep on fasting. I'm going to keep on believing God, even if I never see it myself. I have a grandmother who's passed on today. Been gone since about 2001. Mother to seven children. And I dare say most of her life, a portion of her kids were backslid. But she never stopped praying. She never stopped believing. And there was a season of time after her death that all seven children were in church. All seven children, all of them had prayed back through and were living for God. Now, unfortunately, today, some of them have made their decisions not to continue, but she believed God, and God did it even after she was gone. I'm telling you, my friend, when we get a vision, a long-term vision, this is not just about a lifetime, but it's about eternity. It's not just about a moment. It's not just about today, but it's about an eternal life. And we begin to get some things in our spirit that say, I'm going to go as far as I possibly can. And even if God doesn't answer my prayer in this lifetime, I believe my prayers are going to echo throughout the woods, echo throughout the buildings, echo off of the trees, echo off of the road, that my prayers are going to continue to reverberate. I believe that's a real thing. And I believe that because of the testimony of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius wasn't of the house of Israel. He was a Gentile, but he was a good guy. The Bible describes him as a good man. Scripture says that he was a devout man. He was a man that feared God with all of his house. He was a man who gave much alms to the people. And he was a man that prayed to God always. And in a vision, the angel of God speaks to him and says, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. We don't preach much about those alms coming up as a memorial, but that's there. But Cornelius had lived a life by history, if you will, since Pentecost. This is a man who's living in a way that he can't even receive this Holy Ghost has been poured out. He's a Gentile, but he keeps on praying. He keeps on giving. And God sees his prayers and his alms come up before him as this memorial. That's why I say that even after you're dead and gone, I believe your prayers are still in effect before Almighty God. I want to build something that comes up before God so big that he cannot not see it. There's probably some folks in this place that you've been praying for lost loved ones for a long time and it hasn't happened yet. You just keep right on praying. Those prayers are mounting up. Those prayers are adding up. They're coming up before God. And it may not happen in your lifetime. It may not happen in mine, but you keep on praying. Let those prayers go on up. Let those prayers mount up. Create a memorial before God that he cannot ignore. I started praying for my kids before I ever had kids. If these kids are anything like me, I'm going to need some extra prayer ahead of time here. I'm going to have to start early on this. Hallelujah. But God saw this memorial. But the part I want to talk about for a moment is along the lines of Abraham, that God saw the goodness of Cornelius. And said, this man is such a good man, I can't let him die lost. And I tell you today that some folks are sinners and know they're sinners. And some of them, the hurdle they have to get over is, I'm too bad of a person for God to save. But there's another group of people that are good folks. And they just don't see their need to be saved. I don't cheat on my taxes. I'm not unkind to anybody. I'm not mean to anyone. I'm a nice guy. Everybody thinks I'm a great person. I go help at the soup kitchen. I do this. I do that. Praise God for that. You need the Holy Ghost still. You still need to repent of your sins. You still need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. And you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a good person, but you still need the Holy Ghost. Verse 6 of chapter 10, as the angel is giving instructions to Cornelius. And this is always amaze me, and there's other references in the Bible as well that Cornelius is talking to an angel. Why didn't the angel just go ahead and tell him what he needed to hear? The angel could have went ahead and preached Acts 2:38 to him. The angel could have went ahead and said, Cornelius, you're a good guy, but here's some words that you need to know to be saved. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You get the Holy Ghost. The angel could have said that. But what did he do? He told Cornelius, go send for a preacher. Hey, I got one better than that for you. Forgive me this little tangent here, but You know, the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, he was Saul. He was a bad dude, and he's on the way to Damascus, and a light shines out of heaven, and a voice speaks to him, and Saul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord says to him, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Saul could have gotten a Bible study at that moment in time from Almighty God. He could have told him everything he needed to hear in that moment in time, but that voice from heaven that declared that it was Jesus said, "I'm going to send you to this preacher over here. I'm going to send you down the street called straight to Ananias, and you're going to talk to him, and that preacher's going to tell you what you need to be saved." Oh, can you clap your hands and thank God for a preacher? Hallelujah. But the angel of the Lord says to Cornelius, go send for Simon Peter. He will tell you what you ought to do. And there's some words that are not finished here, but we find it finished in chapter 11. He says, he's going to tell you what you ought to do to be saved. But here's the thing that I like and is my main point in this, although there's so much good teaching and preaching in this story, but Cornelius, as a good man, as a religious man, he just needed to go a little farther. It wasn't enough to be a giver. It wasn't enough to be a praying man. It wasn't enough to be a just and devout man. He needed to go a little farther. And when in Acts chapter 11, when Apostle Peter is recounting the story of how he met Cornelius and everything that transpired, in verse 13, he says, "Cornelius showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, 'Send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved.'" Cornelius, you've been a good guy, but your life is having a bigger impact than just upon yourself. Cornelius, because you've gone so much further than any other Gentile could have gone. You've gone there in faith. You've gone there in trust. Hallelujah. You're not of the house of Israel. You're not a Jew, but you've continued because you love God, and you continued being devout before me. Because of your actions, Cornelius, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to save your house. I'm going to save you, and I'm going to save your family. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when we take another step, when we go a little further, God's got a blessing that's beyond us. It's beyond me. God's going to save my family. He's going to save my home. He's going to save my wife. He's going to save my children. He's going to save those to whom I'm kin, because I have a testimony with God that I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to move forward. Hallelujah. Let's talk about going further today. Just a few more minutes. In Acts chapter 19, we see the Apostle Paul, who comes upon some disciples of John the Baptist. And he asked them this question. He says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" I could ask that same question here today in this place. Every individual. I'm so glad that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have accepted him as your Savior. There is no other Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm so glad that you have accepted him, that he is your Savior. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed on Jesus? Now, there are some people out there that believe and teach that when you believe on Jesus, that you have received the Holy Ghost, or you've received Jesus into your life, but that's not what the Bible teaches. There is another step to be taken. There's a little bit further to go along the trail, along the journey. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, "We haven't even heard of such thing, whether there be any Holy Ghost." And Paul says, well, I better back up and make sure you've got all the steps in process here. Well, let me ask you this. Were you baptized? Well, we were baptized under John's baptism. And Paul says, okay, now I know where you're at. You've repented of your sins. Thank God that you've repented of your sins. The scripture teaches us that when a sinner repents, that heaven rejoices. They haven't even gotten the Holy Ghost yet, but heaven's getting happy because heaven knows what's coming next. Hallelujah. We were just baptized under John's baptism. And so the apostle Paul began to preach unto them. And he says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They took the next step. They left, hallelujah, to go back to my text. They left behind the principles of the doctrine of Christ. They left behind repentance. They didn't forget repentance, but they left from that position and they took a step and said, we're going to get baptized. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the scripture says that Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I come today with a word in my heart to tell somebody, it's time for you to take a step farther. It's time for you to go further in Jesus Christ. It's time for you to move forward. Thank God for your accepting the Lord. Thank God that you repented of your sins, but he wants to cleanse you from your sins in water baptism. He wants to fill you with his Holy Ghost, with his fire. He wants to baptize you with his Spirit. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. I'm getting close to wrapping up here, but I'll tell you today, there's no other way that you can find in Scripture, no other place where you can find anybody ever baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ. Two ways in Scripture that we see things. We see it by edict, by spoken, and we see it by example. Hallelujah. We saw Jesus Christ. We heard him by his word in Matthew 28:19, said that we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And every one of us in this place knows today that Father is not a name, and that Son is not a name, and that Holy Ghost is not a name. And every one of those disciples sitting around there, every one of them, they also knew what Jesus was talking about, because he had told them, I come in my Father's name. Hallelujah. He had told them, the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name. They knew who the Father was. Philip knew who the Father was. Hallelujah. Because he had said, Jesus, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus looked at Philip and said, Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, they knew who he was talking about. That's Jesus. Baptize in the name of the Son, they knew who it was. That's Jesus. In the name of the Holy Ghost, that's Jesus. They knew what he meant. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up with the 11. They're in agreement. They're on the same page. Matthew is there. And when Peter says in Acts 2:38, you are to repent of your sins. You are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Matthew did not jump up and say, wait a minute, Peter, that's not what Jesus said. Wait, because he knew what Jesus said. He knew what he said. And every time somebody is baptized, it's in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you've only gotten wet. If you went down in the titles, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Yes. I'm feeling my liberty right now in the Holy Ghost. When you put me under the water, you better call a name over me. I don't want there to be any question about who my daddy is. Jesus looked at some guys one time and he said, "You're of your father, the devil. You better call a name over me in baptism. I don't want anybody, I don't want any spirits or powers of hell thinking they own me. I don't want them thinking that the devil's my father. You call the name of Jesus over me. You call the name, it's a saving name. You call the name, it's a delivering name. You call the name, it's a powerful name. You gotta be baptized in Jesus' name." That's not, none of that's in my notes. It's all free. I'm not charging anything extra for that. Well, I got one more for you here. Today in our world, people will do just about everything in Jesus' name. They pray over their food in Jesus' name. They pray over the sick in Jesus' name. They'll pray for their car that won't start in Jesus' name. They know that's where the power is. They'll do everything in Jesus' name, but baptize. But the scripture says, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, and baptism's a deed, do all in the name of Jesus. You put me down in Jesus' name. It's effectual. It's powerful. It has the power to cleanse me from my sin. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell one more story with this, the rest of that. It's all true. It's not stories in the sense of lies. It's stories in the sense of an account. The musicians can come, but I want to tell you one more story this morning that's not in the Bible. I want to tell you about a young lady named Cadence. Cadence came to church, but she had a problem. And we had church in Ocala, like you guys have church here. It just feels like home here. Dancing, shouting, speaking in tongues, praying, hooping, hollering. Cadence had some kind of issue, and I think it was probably spiritual, but who knows? People's lives can be messed up by so many things. But she, they have a name for this, but it's a sensory overload. Now, you can't imagine someone coming to a Pentecostal church and having sensory overload, can you? She did. I mean, I didn't see this, but she about had a meltdown, just freaking out over all that's going on. And she takes off for the foyer. And there was a young lady there that knew her, I think knew her from work or something, and she goes out there and she talks to her and kind of, you know, calms her down and, you know, and gets her to come back inside. And this happened several times in her initial stages of coming to church. She almost melted down numerous times. Thank God for good saints that were there to help her. But Cadence just kept going a little further in the things of God. She was taking baby steps, but she was taking steps. Time came that the family got excited about her going to church. They didn't come, but they were excited about her. And they were excited about the positive changes she was making in her life. You know, your worldly folks telling her, you know, you're dressing more modestly. This is awesome. You know, you're nicer. And, you know, she hasn't got the Holy Ghost yet, hasn't been baptized, but just being in the presence of God has had an effect on her. And then she decides that it's time to be baptized. And man, the family all supported her. They came, they showed up for her baptism. They watched that, and that was a step. That was a step. And then She didn't stop there. She kept on making steps forward. She received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the moment the adversary really didn't like. Her family was no longer happy with what she's doing. Now she's gone too far. Too many steps. You need to take a step back. But Cadence kept going. She didn't back up. She found something that was real. Hallelujah. She found something that gave her peace. Something that gave her joy, that gave her happiness. So she begins to separate herself from the world. She begins living holy, dressing holy, acting holy. And for her family, this is really going too far, too many steps. And unfortunately, they forced her to make a decision. Live at home with your family and give up this church life or go live somewhere else. Cadence chose God. She took a step. She said, I'm gonna believe God. He's gonna help me with this. She had nowhere to go. She had no place to live. She had, you know, just a basic job at this point, but it was an act of faith. And she winds up moving in with some folks in her church and lives there for a time. But she chose God and she kept on going forward. She attended discipleship class. She devoured the reading material that was thrown her way. She was in twice a day personal prayer meetings. She jumped into her relationship with God with both feet. In just a short year's time, at this young lady who just kept putting one foot in front of the other, in a short year's time, she marries the pastor's son. Cadence is my daughter-in-law. Now, I can't tell you single ladies that if you get right with God that you can marry the pastor's son. I think he's spoken for. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you today, if you'll trust God, if you'll walk with him with all your heart, if you will just keep taking steps forward, God will put his hand upon your life and lead you and guide you, and you will walk into a world that you never dreamed was even possible. If you'll keep walking with God, if you'll keep walking with God, if you'll keep moving forward. Hallelujah. I want to tell some friends here today in this place, some people, I just feel the Holy Ghost. I feel drawn to you in the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about what people are going to say or think about you going to church faithfully. Don't worry about what people are going to do, perhaps. Maybe they'll forsake you. Jesus said that would happen. And he said, you got to be willing to do that. If you can just fix your eyes on Jesus. God, I'm leaving everything behind. I'm leaving my past behind. If my family walks away from me, you'll be my family. The church will be my family. If my friends walk away from me, I'll have friends in the church. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling somebody today that there is even more than a blessing in going a little farther. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ today, I believe, has blessings for you, even in that sometimes unspoken opportunity. He just wants to see what you'll do. You may have been in this altar and you may have repented of your sins. You may have given your life to God. You confessed him. You have forsaken all. And God, he's standing there waiting today to see if you're going to take that step into baptism in his name? Are you going to take on my name? Will you bear the reproach of my name? Will you take up your cross and follow me? Will you deny yourself today? And he has a promise. If you repent of your sins and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you shall. Not maybe, not might, not possibly. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's all stand together this morning. I would like for every individual across this house to reach over right now where you're at and pray with somebody. Find somebody nearby. Maybe lay your hand on their shoulder. Let's, wherever is appropriate, on their arm. And I want you to pray for one another right now. I want you to pray that God would give the courage and give the faith, the boldness to take the next step this morning, to go beyond where you have gone before. Hallelujah. Going beyond that place that is familiar to you to a different place. Hallelujah. To take a bolder step, to take a step that you've never taken before, to leave behind the world of sin, to leave behind ungodliness, to leave behind your old lifestyle and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord Jesus, I'm going to serve you. I am going to live for you. I don't care what the cost. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I may encounter. I'm going on with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you feel that faith rising up in your heart right now, I want you to step out of those pews from where you are and make your way down to this altar. I want you to make a public confession by your action. I'm stepping out in faith. Come on, my friend. Come on, my brother, my sister. Come on to the front this morning. We're ready to pray with you. We're ready to support you. We're behind you this morning. We're going to walk with you. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'm going on with you. I'm not turning back. I'm not turning around. Hallelujah. There may be some young men in this place today that you felt the call of God upon your life to ministry. This morning can be your morning to accept what God has put upon you and to take that step forward and saying, God, I'm not going to just be just a normal saint. I'm not going to be average. I'm not going to be in the middle. I'm going to step forward, and I'm going to begin to serve you in a capacity I never had before. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to teach Bible studies. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to reach out to people. Come on, saints of God, let's pray. Come on, sinner friend. Come on, guest. Hallelujah. God wants to help you today. God wants to change your life. He wants to transform you. He wants to take all of the old things and put them behind you forever. And he wants to make you new today. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's reach out to him. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray with all our hearts in the name of Jesus. Come on, saints of God, lift your voices today. Lift them in faith. Lift them in boldness.